The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning to you. Welcome or welcome back. It's hour number two here on Wednesday, the 10th day of February, 2021. So I'm spending the evening last night just kind of, you know, sorting through the infuriating impeachment clips and the nonsense being offered by the House impeachment managers, making some notes, thinking that's the bulk of today's show. And then my life changes. Everything changes. I think it was somebody had just sent me a quick text that said, "You hear about Cuban?" I said, "What? What about him?" The Mavericks are stopping the playing of the national anthem. And of course, they haven't done it this year at all, but that will stay the case. They're just not going to play the national anthem anymore. And the first thing that occurred to me is, well, I guess they can't kneel. But that was kind of sarcastic. I mean, the good news is there's no more anthem kneeling. The bad news is it's because there's no more anthem. So the first thing that occurred to me, and these happen simultaneously, I got a text from Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick saying, "Hey, I could be on the show tomorrow talking about this," and here he comes in just a moment. And the other thing I thought is, well, I'll tell you who else I need is Mark Cuban. Now, I don't think he'll be joining us on the phone, although that offer remains open, but we had a back and forth via email that was one for the ages. It was with goodwill and substance and frankness, and I shared that all in the 7 o'clock hour. If you missed it, just go get the podcast, listen to the entire 7 o'clock hour podcast at 660amtheanswer.com. Click podcast, Mark Davis, boom, there you go. Rhonda will have that up by like 11. And I just explained the gist of that to Dan Patrick. Cuban's not an America hater. He's not a flag hater. But I think there's some confusion. There is. I've referred to Cuban as the guy who is so smart, his mind is so open that his brains fell out. And what's needed here, as the anthem has been weaponized by the kneelers, is owners. Jerry Jones did it for about 5 minutes, and then he got over it, to say, look, you can feel however you want, protest however you want, but not during the anthem and not when you're on my dime. That's what is needed. Cuban doesn't want to do it. I wish he did. So there we are. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is here. Here's Dan's tweet. "Your decision to cancel our national anthem at Mavs games is a slap in the face to every American and an embarrassment to Texas. Sell the franchise and some Texas Patriots will buy it. We are the land of the free and the home of the brave." Dan Patrick is here. Morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Mark. You know, it's interesting. I mean, yes, Mark, I got two Marks here I'm thinking of. I reached out to Mark Cuban back in 2015 after session. Mm-hmm. I knew he was not a Dan Patrick or a Ted Cruz fan because he was really tough on Ted in those days. But as someone who I admired as his success, mm-hmm, and a player in Dallas, I wanted to meet him because I knew we shared a love of trying to reform public education the best we could and improve our public schools. You know, I wasn't reaching out to him because I thought he'd be a donor. He would never give 10 cents to someone as conservative as me. But I like to meet people across the aisle and hear how they think. Mm-hmm. We had a great meeting, started not a friendship, but, we would converse by email on occasion. And last year, when I decided to put together a video of sports stars and Hollywood stars I knew for all the graduating seniors, since they didn't have a graduation, he was one of the first ones to get back to me right away and arrange it all. And I appreciate it. Again, our politics don't agree anywhere. But this Mark, to me, is just as egregious in its own way as those who took to the streets last summer to try and tear down America, to those who took on our Capitol and tried to tear down our Capitol and attack the police. They didn't stand for the 75 million Trump supporters that I know. This is egregious in its own right, because as divisive as those two acts were, this is even more divisive, because this is someone who has lived the American dream. In 1982, for those who don't know the history, he came to Dallas. He was a bartender. I've been a bartender once. Probably a lot of your listeners have been. You know, he got fired from a job selling computer software. He hit a home run with a business. He hit a bigger home run with a sports audio business, broadcasting games. I mean, he went from nothing to one of the richest people on the planet, one of the richest people in America. And he, of all, should know better. The rioters in the street should have known better. The rioters at the Capitol should have known better. But the anthem, Mark, is something that, no matter what our politics are, that brought us together.
Yeah.
You know, he tweeted out last year, well, you know, we don't need the anthem. You know, if you don't like it, well, how come they don't play the anthem at your work? That's not the point.
No.
This is where, you know, sports has been the gathering place for all of us. So that white, black, and brown, R&D, the next morning around the water cooler can talk about the Cowboy game or the Super Bowl or the Mavs game or the Ranger game or whatever it may be. It's the one common thread that brought us all together for a moment and put all of that out, you know, other disagreements in our maybe we'd have. And we also, when you stand and sing the national anthem, Mark, it's you are reflecting on the, to me, when I sing the anthem, I think of the entire history of our country.
Yeah.
From our founding fathers through the surviving the Civil War through World War I and II and Vietnam and Korea, of all these people, the men and women who shed blood. So someone like Mark Cuban could go from a bartender to a billionaire,
yeah.
To go from a guy who couldn't afford a ticket to the game to owning the team. That's who we are, and that's what brings us together. And I think about – and I think he was jealous. I mean, he talked about running for president. He's talked about that. What, would he not salute when he got off Marine One if he won? Would he not play the national anthem at his inauguration if he won? I mean, this is – I don't make excuses for anyone that tries to tear down our country. And I'm not making an excuse for Mark. Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's smart. People like him, even though his politics don't fit in with a lot of conservative Republicans. But this is what's he trying to accomplish? Does this bring us together?
No, it absolutely doesn't. And he lacks a lot of clarity. The difference I might draw between this and, you know, rioters in the streets is that they intend to display their hatred of America. They intend to show their hostility toward this great country. And that's not Cuban and never will be. What he's doing is overthinking this by a degree of 10. Does intent matter? In a way, it does in what you think of the person, but it doesn't in terms of the end result. Because what he has done,
what is his ultimate goal then? And
nor am I his PR flack. But through the emails that he sent, it was like, well, you know, not enough people are stopping and paying attention. Nobody paid attention that we weren't playing it this year. They don't take off their hats and show enough respect when we do. And it's a shame that it's been weaponized. They're bad arguments. You're completely right. Also, I'll say four times today, very important, he has said this is not final. We'll see what we'll do. He'll continue to listen. I hope he listens to me. I hope he listens to you, because it was a bad decision. Go ahead.
Well, and the difference between no excuse for any of these rioters, whether they were on the left or the right in this last year in this country. You might say spontaneous. Obviously, we know there were professional troublemakers, you know, Antifa, et cetera, and others. But in this case, He didn't react. He thought about this. This was a plan. You know, like you said, he hadn't been doing it for 13 games, but nobody knows because no one was there. But again, we've gone from this started with kneeling 4 years ago or so with Kaepernick to more kneeling to what happened next. Well, we just won't come out on the field. We don't see it on television anymore. And now we're not even playing it anymore.
Yep.
And so I don't want to overemphasize this. Look, this is just stupid. But you say, well, just go on, ignore it.
No.
What's the next step?
Thank you, because people are always asking me, and I know they're asking you, why does this matter so much? Because this one moment of unity in today's fractious times, because you talked about the notion of you standing, singing the anthem, wherever you may be.
Yeah.
I feel exactly the same way. If I'm at the AAC for the Mavs or the Stars, if I'm at AT&T Stadium for the Cowboys, if I'm at the new ballpark, the old ballpark for the Rangers, when I'm singing the anthem, I look out across a crowd of 20,000, 40,000, 80,000, wherever I may
together.
Be. And I'm thinking, you know what? This room, this big room is filled with people who disagree with me about everything. I am white.
Right.
They might not be. I am conservative. They might not be. I am a Christian. They might not be. And in this messy world where all that's on display, for this moment, we sing and we honor this country in a moment of unity. To lose that is a tragedy.
And Mark, look, there's, and I'm not suggesting Mark is doing this, but there, the dividers in our country have tried to remove God from our country. And now we have those haters who are now want to removing our flag and our history, whether they want, you know, want to rewrite the history of the country. You've got a president right now who I said when he won, you know, I was all in for Trump as his campaign manager for Texas. I worked hard, but I said, I'm going to pray for the new president. Well, gosh, after 3 weeks or so, what am I seeing?
Eesh.
A guy who was trying to destroy our country, open our borders, you know, take away sports scholarships from girls so some guy can feel inclusive and play and take that scholarship away from some girl. He's attacking everything in the country that is important to this country. So I still pray for him, but I pray that God gives him a bolt of lightning and a Damascus Road experience like Paul had and turn him around.
I know. I was going to ask, we got about 2 minutes left, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, I was going to ask you about that, but I also wanted to ask you about one more thing, and this was just some pretty recent news too. The push to legalize sports betting in Texas in various forms, that dead on arrival?
Well, Mark, so here's what even though every newspaper quoted me saying something I didn't say, which is par for the course in the media. What I said on an interview yesterday was in response to someone who said that I had said to Republicans, you know, I would support it if it increases revenue for the state. Not only didn't I say that, I said just the opposite when I've talked about it, including talking to the sports teams, talking to the casinos, et cetera, who want gambling. You know, like the sports team said with sports betting, we can generate $150 million a year. I said, look, if you want sports betting, just talk about creating jobs or trying to start a new business. Don't tell me about, you know, it's going to save Texas. $150 million, Mark, pays for about a half a day of expenses in the entire state.
We're a big state.
For the year. You know, and even gambling, $700 million. That would be about a day and a half or so, maybe a little bit more, almost 2 days. You know, people aren't going to buy this. You know, the lottery was going to pay for education. I said, don't sell. So not only was the original story made up or just totally misunderstood. So I went on and I said, look, we don't have the votes. There aren't the votes for sports betting, because part of this, Mark, on this whole sports betting with the teams. And, I've talked with all the teams and I know most of the owners, not all of them, and nor their general managers and their executives, et cetera, et cetera. But I said, look. Sports betting is a subset of gambling. You know, it's basically males 20 to 40. And if people are going to take a vote in the Republican Party where half of our voters are against it and our folks who go to church once a week are like, it's 2-1 against gambling, if they're going to do it for, you know, big casinos, they're going to go for the full Monty. They're not going to do it for sports betting. So I just said, look, there aren't the votes there. There just aren't the votes there for it. And after this, now, I feel badly for those who have been trying to act properly, because you think any Republican is now going to vote or consider voting? I mean, there were no votes, because you have to have a constitutional amendment for either casinos or sports betting. But, you know, and again, you know, some of the members would say, look, why would I take a vote for sports betting for this subset group? Because the lady that goes to Windstar, the lady that goes to Louisiana, they're going to, wait a minute, you voted for what? I want to go to a casino. In other words, you look at the big picture, and so I just said, look, the votes aren't there. Well, after this stunt, do you think anybody is going to consider? Mark just pulled the rug out from every other sports team in Texas with this stunt. There were already people saying, well, why would I approve sports betting? These are people that don't even make people stand for the flag. Why am I going to do this? Again, because it doesn't generate much money for Texas.
Yeah.
It generates a lot of money for them. So that's why I said, don't, you know, sell it on tourism if it's a casino. Sell it on jobs. But don't sell it on, you know, well, we're going to do this for Texas. In fact, I told him, you know, just take the money and create a foundation and give it to a charity or something. Not that don't misunderstand me. Not that $150 million is not a lot of money.
It's not pocket
change.
But
our budget is $125 billion. So
exactly
going back to Mark, I hope he reconsiders this.
I don't
think he's an evil person. I don't think he's a bad guy. But he's another Zuckerberg or another Jack Dorsey with Twitter or go down the list of these relatively young billionaires who just think they're so damn smart. And the truth is, this country is made up of the people who are going to work this morning, Mark, yep, doing all their jobs, many of them through this entire COVID. They're the people that get up, they fix their kids' breakfast, they get them off to school, or they teach them at homeschool. They go out to work. They're never going to be a billionaire or a millionaire. They're the policemen, they're the firemen, they're the nurses, they're the grocery workers, they're the contractors, they're the, you know, the bricklayers, you name it. You know, I've been blessed in life, Mark. I've lost some money and made some money, but I always consider myself a little bit like a Cuban guy. I grew up in Baltimore from a blue-collar family. You know, I had my struggles early. I'm so damn blessed in this country. I have more than I ever deserved. And so when I see a guy like this, who I always thought kind of related to people, yeah, through Shark Tank and other things, yeah, that's why I wanted to meet him. I know our politics are totally different, but, and you know, when I met him, by the way, and I said, look, Mark, I'm troubled about public education in the city of Dallas too. And he said, well, I want to buy an elementary school. That's what he said. I said, well, Mark, we don't sell elementary schools, but why don't you start a charter? And so I don't think he's an evil guy, but I'm really tired of these billionaire young guys, primarily some women out there, who just think they're smarter than all of us. They're trying to teach us some lesson. Well, look, we love this country, and we've got our faults, and we all know it, and we got to come together. But if Mark Cuban thought he was doing anything to unite us, he's just so wrong.
The evidence is immediately to the contrary. Yeah. Listen, I'm so glad to have you on that and everything else. And listen, let's talk about some session stuff, some Texas stuff, some stuff in politics. I'm glad to do it at any time. Have a wonderful rest of the week. It is always a joy to have you.
Hey, God bless you. And let's pray for Mark that he has a
Let's do. And I really
he
mean
wakes
that.
Up soon and he says, you know what? I was just flat out wrong.
I've overthought this by a degree of 10. Some things are simple. Love of country is one of them. Lieutenant Governor.
If he doesn't, he's slapping the face to all of America
is.
And all of
it. It is. You're not wrong about that. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick,
you, Mark
Davis, 825. All right, 831. Let's get into the world of news with Gordon Griffin. And then, whew, well, I think we've... I think we've taken care of the Cuban Mavericks national anthem thing, but only insofar as offering up every possible perspective. Little ambrosia, not as you were. Cuban, in his email exchange with me, and I got to be honest with you, I think at either 9:05 or 9:35, I'm going to reenact that little moment of radio theater. It was like the next best thing to having him on the show. Because he wrote me some things. I wrote him some things back and forth. It was goodwill and frankness all around. And if you missed it, you can catch it on the podcast. Or I think I'm just going to it didn't take long. I'll reenact it either 9:05 or 9:35. Because I guess we got to get some of this impeachment nonsense in. There were some highlights and lowlights, and we'll talk about that. So all this and more, ready to rock, 866-660-5759. Grab a line while we take a look into the newsroom. Here's Gordon Griffin.
Breaking news, stimulating talk. This is 660 AM, The Answer.
Patchy fog in 28. Good morning, I'm Gordon Griffin. One person is dead, at least three others are wounded after a shooting at a Minnesota healthcare clinic. Shooting spree happened yesterday in the town of Buffalo. That's about 40 miles northwest of Minneapolis. The White House is adjusting President Biden's goal of opening most U.S. public schools within 100 days.
His goal that he set is to have the majority of schools, so more than 50%, open by day 100 of his presidency. And that means some teaching in classrooms. So at least one day a week. Hopefully it's more.
That was Press Secretary Jen Psaki on Tuesday. Last December, Mr. Biden said his goal to defeat the pandemic would ensure that a majority of schools would be open within 100 days. The FDA is authorizing a new antibody drug from Eli Lilly for emergency use. DiMuccio has more.
The therapy uses a combination of two drugs to treat less severe cases of the coronavirus, but are at a higher risk of a more serious case or hospitalization. Those age 12 and older can use the treatment. One of the drugs involved already received authorization in November for high-risk patients. Eli Lilly says it is committed to supplying the antibody therapies for patients across the U.S.
Winter weather advisory today for the Metroplex. That runs through Thursday morning at 6 o'clock. Patchy freezing drizzle across the area today with a high of 35. And a wintry mix is possible tonight. 50% chance of sleet and freezing rain in the upper 20s tonight. Now you know what's going on. I'm Gordon Griffin on 660 AM The Answer.
Traffic Watch.
Good morning. A rollover crash in Allen causing lots of delay on northbound 75 at Stacy Road. Two left lanes are blocked over a half hour backup from Bethany Drive. A wrecker has pulled up on scene recently, however. In Plano, a crash reported Dallas North Tollway southbound at Legacy. That will slow you down from 121. The Bush Turnpike eastbound slowing down as well behind a crash. Only the right lane getting by at Midway in Dallas. In Louisville, another rollover crash. Only the left lane gets by here on northbound 35 over the Lake Louisville Bridge. Call that 20 minutes extra travel time from Eagle Point. Sell your home and save thousands with Josh DeShong Real Estate. Go to GetSold.net. That's GetSold.net. Now you know what's going on. I'm Joe Ellison, 660 AM, The Answer Traffic Watch.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world one life at a time.
Oh, yeah, we love it. Matter of fact, my husband and I go every 6 months for checkups. I'm 72 and he's 69, and our blood work's good. And so the doctor asked me in January, what are you doing? Just like the commercial. And I told her Balance of Nature. I was telling her about the price and what it does. So my doctor said she was supposed to start ordering it too. So I just want to say thank you. And we're not liking it. We're loving it.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code RADIO.
Morning, Ann.
Howdy, Cody. Did you see conservative David Spiller came in first in the Texas House special election?
Sure did. David Spiller's gonna make rural conservatives proud.
Well, don't celebrate yet. There's a runoff. Even though David Spiller came in first with 44% of the vote, we've got to finish the job and get David over the line.
Yeah, I saw that David's former opponents, Jason Brinkley and John Barry, both endorsed David, along with former Governor Rick Perry, who grew up in this district.
Yes, rural conservatives are uniting behind David Spiller to stand up for our schools, hospitals, water resources against the urban legislators always working against us.
I like that David Spiller's pledged to fully defend the Second Amendment, cut property taxes, and fight for pro-life Christian values.
Me too. We must vote one last time for David Spiller or we'll risk losing everything to urban special interests.
I guarantee you I'll make it to the polls on, when's the runoff?
February 23rd.
February 23rd. I'll be there to vote for conservative David Spiller.
Political ad paid for by the David Spiller campaign.
So, Daworth Clean is including an anti-COVID treatment at no additional cost when we clean your carpet, tile, wood, or stone flooring. This week, have your carpet cleaned for as low as $29 per area, and we'll include a hall or bath free. So call Daworth Clean today.
Call 267-8433 because the next best thing to do.
Listen live using our mobile app through TuneIn, iHeart, or radio.com. You're listening to 660 AM, The Answer.
Alrighty, Wednesday in progress, 8:37. Good morning. Bracing for the Texas winter. Oh my gosh. What does my phone say today? It's been arguing with itself all day. Do we have the, do we have single? Monday night into Tuesday morning, okay? Monday night into Tuesday morning, 7 degrees. And I'm in Irving. So I, you know, if you get up to Gainesville or some such, or I can't even imagine. So I don't know. It may argue some more. So some frozen precip, a possibility in the coming days, then cloudy Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then a couple of snowflakes on my happy phone. And the kids are happy. Of course, is there such a thing as a snow day when nobody's actually in the school building? Of course, people are. In Texas, more than they are in some places. So a 60% chance of snow on Monday in some form, 40% next Wednesday. We will cross that bridge when we come to it. Listen, I just want to thank you guys so very, very much as I'm getting ready to dive onto calls on, yes, the impeachment farce and also the Mark Cuban decision to simply, I won't say stop playing the national anthem because they haven't played it all year. But as fans, you know, are able now to return, you'd like to think that maybe they could return to normalcy and hear the anthem as well. That answer is no. It is not, repeat, not Cuban hating the country or showing the kind of disdain for the flag that, quite frankly, the athletes do. He just doesn't want to stand up to them. And that's a problem. He just doesn't have the clarity in his big brain and I feel really confident about this, that because this is a guy back 2007, he owned Magnolia Pictures and they were going to distribute Loose Change, this 9/11 denial documentary. And he, I had him on the show. He said, it's not because I agree with it, but, you know, I feel that all views should be welcome. Great. I'm all about all views being welcome. But as the father of modern psychology once said, a great amount of wisdom is knowing what to ignore. I said, listen, how about if somebody came to you with a documentary that said, you know, slavery, it's not so bad, or, you know, the Jews, they kind of deserved it. Would you accept those? And he said, well, if it's well done. I said, what? I said, it is possible to have a mind so open that your brains fall out. Felt that then, and I see it today. Some things are simple. In a world that's so complex, it's like a movie trailer. Some things are simple. The anthem is our unifying moment to put aside our differences and love this country. Don't jack with it and don't allow it to be jacked with at a sports team you own. That's it. That's what's required of him. And he doesn't want to do it. So I think I will. Yeah, I think I am. At 9:05. I'm going to go through the email chain. He and I were back and forth on email. It was great. I loved it. And people loved hearing it. 7:05. I'll do it again at 9:05. So we got that. We got the impeachment farce. Got some audio from that and some calls to take here in just a moment. What I want to thank you for is the incredible showing you are making in our Food for the Poor campaign. Because as whenever it goes down to really, really cold, I think about the homeless. I think about people in our country who don't have heat. I think about people in our country who have all kinds of things that I try to make better with my charitable giving. And we have problems in this country and charities to address them, and we should support them. We are also called to take a look broadly in our part of the world, in the Latin American, Caribbean basin, and some places that have poverty of a type we will never see. And I've been to these places. I've been to Haiti. I've been to Guatemala and brought you stories back. Can't go this year. Pandemic. And you know what else cannot happen in those countries? The hard scrabble existence where some women were finding a way to get by with an agricultural project that was making vegetables of such high quality that they were finding a marketplace in their own country, neighboring countries, even in some parts of America. The business hookups, those relationships are eroding. Haiti was in trouble before a massive earthquake hit, so you got instant trouble there. But even in those places, I find hope, I find faith, and I find your generosity at work. At 660amtheanswer.com, click Food for the Poor, and for $37, you can feed a child for 6 months. $37, feed a child for 6 months. You got 370 lying around, 10 kids. Imagine those eyes. Imagine those skinny little bodies, and I've held them. But guess what? They're not dead. And they're fattening up beautifully. Their moms, their families, so grateful to you. Food for the Poor, so grateful to you for what you will do today. Go to 660amtheanswer.com. Click Food for the Poor. Give hope. Give life, because that's what you're doing. So there are little boxes you can click, $37, a customized amount. You got 20, we'll take that. You got 200, we'll take that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But every 37 feeds a kid for 6 months. Now, there's our wonderful little gimmickry we're doing, and we got some takers on this already, and it's awesome. In the past, we've done like 2,500, and you get to come co-host the show in the 9 o'clock hour. We go to lunch together wherever you want. Yeah, not exactly pandemic-friendly at the moment. But I'll tell you what we can do. Zoom party. Yeah, yeah. Let's go. Tuesday of next week will be our first one. And I think we got a couple of slots open in that. If you got 1,000, a measly 1,000. I know everything's relative. That's a grand. Are you kidding me? And so there's pressure on us to make this fun for you. And we will. Rhonda will be there. I will be there. And you will be there. Here's what you do. Go to 660amtheanswer.com. Click the Food for the Poor banner. Give $1,000. And then immediately go to the email and send Rhonda an email that says, hey, I just gave $1,000. Hook me up for the Zoom party. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, we'll spend an hour doing whatever you want to do. Talk about stuff, big stuff, little stuff, behind-the-scenes stuff, fun stuff, heavy stuff, light stuff, whatever you want. It's your dime or your however many dimes in $1,000. So go to 660amtheanswer.com, click Food for the Poor, give $1,000. And then go to markdavisshow@gmail.com, markdavisshow@gmail.com. send Rhonda the note and says, hey, I just did it. And then she'll get your, you know, data, your digits, your links. And then she'll send you the Zoom link a little ahead of time on Tuesday, 7 o'clock of next week. And then we'll all get together. You'll be in your house, I'll be in mine, and whoop-de-doo, it'll be great. So that's what you do. But listen, if you don't have 1,000, but you got 10, you got 20, you got 37, we'll take it. We appreciate it so very, very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Our campaign is off to a wonderful start, and we're so very, very grateful. 660amtheanswer.com, click Food for the Poor banner, and there you go. All right, 844, we are in Mansfield. Joe, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Mark. First, I'd like to thank you for playing Roberta Flack.
Oh, my pleasure. She's 84 today. Just what an amazing voice.
Well, Killing Me Softly, the first song I ever slow danced to.
Oh, I remember
that girl well.
Oh, that's fantastic. That touches my heart. That's awesome.
Well, anyway, my son works for an NBA franchise, not the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to phone in to get add a different perspective because I do get privileged to the inner workings of the NBA franchise. And so I will tell you that every day he gets a message on his computer, all the employees do, from mm-hmm. somebody in the team administrative office. And it's some kind of statement for social justice, inclusion. Usually it's something that he has to self-loathe over.
Well put.
But here's a different angle to what Mark Cuban is doing. And unfortunately, he's between a rock and a hard place. So I don't think it's any hidden secret that the majority of the players in the NBA are of one demographic group, heavily skewed. And they have their own particular culture and view of things. And I think it's also safe to say that the majority of them right now do not have an appreciation of American history or traditions or values like you and I do
mm-hmm.
at the moment.
Which means, if I can pause, because you're totally right, the vast majority of players in the NBA are black. But we got all kinds of white kneelers as well. I think this may be more political than racial, but continue.
Well, you're right. You're right. And my point is, the one thing that Mark Cuban loves more than anything is his team. And Mark Cuban goes out of his way to do other things other than paying big salary contracts.
Yep.
You know, the plane that he provides, the locker room amenities, the family gatherings, all that goes into it. And I really think that, you know, so here you have no fans in the stands. You have the players who are standing for the anthem, and they're like talking amongst themselves, like, why are we doing this? Nobody's here.
Yep.
And so, you know, Mark is saying, well, you know what? This is one more thing I can show my players that I'm with them. And so, you know what? We just won't do it.
All right, let's pause because I think that's interesting because he said that they haven't played it at all this year. Of course, there have been.
Correct.
There. So even as the season began, a little mind reading here, but that's okay. We're all speculating and, you know, let's stipulate that. That he took a look at this. Your testimony is that maybe he took a look at this and said, okay, we got an empty stadium. Do we need a pregame anthem? You know, all other things being equal, probably not. Saves a lot of arguments. Say, you know, prevents the kneeling spectacle. Let's just not do it.
Well, yeah. And the thing is keep in mind, yes, he's been doing it since the beginning of the season, but nobody knew about it until now.
Correct. And you know what's funny is somebody finally noticed. It took like 16 games because, I mean, you had opposing teams, coaches, media, and nobody noticed. But here's the thing. They probably did kind of notice and thought, well, everything's different. You know, isn't the anthem kind of for the crowd first and foremost anyway, where we all gather together with 18,000 people at the AAC, sing it together? If there ain't no fans, I mean... Well,
here begs the question to Mr. Cuban.
Yeah.
Who do you care more about, the person that dribbles the ball or the person that buys the ticket?
Exactly. And not that they are unanimous. The Mavericks fan base is a broad political spectrum. There are people who go to Mavericks games or who used to who are all on board for the kneelers and probably fine with the eradication of the anthem. But that is a minority. And he in the email exchange that I will again exchange, let's do that, or I will again share it, 905. He said, what if a majority of people are fine with getting rid of the anthem? You know, and I said, there's no universe in which this is okay with a majority of Mavericks fans. Joe, thanks. Superbly put. And here's the thing. there is a human instinct sometimes to just make stuff go away. Just make it easy. Just sweep it under the rug and just make it go away. The problem started, you know when the problem started, when players decided to co-opt the anthem for their social justice soapbox. That was the initial inciting offense. And what it incited was revulsion from a fan base that said, what are you doing? And here's the tragic thing. And I shared this with Cuban, and you'll hear it here in a few minutes again. I said, the tragic thing here is if the entire roster of every NBA team thought after the George Floyd death, man, we got some issues here about race, about policing, about training, about de-escalation. We need to have that conversation. The vast majority of America would have said, wow, you know what? Okay, let's do. The moment the kneeling started, millions of those people said, screw that. I have no conversation with people who are hating on my country and my flag. Good night. They burned their own bridge, crippled their own awareness campaign, and they don't even know and they don't even care. And it is for that reason that the kneelers absolutely are showing flag disrespect, absolutely are dissing the country. Whether they say it or whether they know it, I'm sorry, their state of mind doesn't matter. Just as Mark Cuban's state of mind doesn't matter in discontinuing the anthem. I get his logic, and you'll hear it again at 9:05. It's like, well, a lot of people didn't even know it was gone. When we play it, a lot of people are, you know, lollygagging around on the concourse, and it's a shame that it's all been weaponized, and so let's just not do it. That's horrible logic and just bad thinking. It's not born of hatred of his own hatred of country or his own lack of patriotism. What he lacks is clarity. And I know it's hard. Listen, I'm a radio guy. I can sit here and talk about this all day. The moment the athletes started the kneeling nonsense, every owner had a choice to make. Do you stand up for your employees and let them get away with this? Or do you stand up for the countless fans who were offended by it? The right answer was to stand up for the fans. And it doesn't mean you got to go rampaging through the locker room and saying, you rotten SOBs, you know, you better not kneel for the anthem on my team. No, as Jerry Jones said, we're going to deal with it with some grace. Well, here's the grace I wanted to show. Show it to the fans as well as the athletes. And this is not hard. Get with them and say, guys, you all are passionate about some stuff. I get it. I may even share your passions in some of this. But don't jack with the anthem. We're not going to do that. We're not going to permit that. But whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, social media, press conferences, news releases, haiku poems, whatever you want to do, I will bless your freedom of speech in that regard. But don't jack with the anthem. That's all I ask. Don't jack with the anthem. Was that so hard? So that's what was needed. And not only does Cuban not want to do it, he just don't want to mess with it. And so stops playing the anthem altogether. It is a bad decision. 852. All righty. 866-660-5759. Little George Winston to take us out. If you want a real sort of nifty piano soundtrack to anything you're doing, staining a table, making pasta, doing a talk show. Little George Winston. Not bad. All righty, George will take us out. I'll check my text. And hop into the 9 o'clock hour. A call or two or three. And for those who missed it, a complete revisitation of call it Mark Cuban's virtual appearance on the show, a little radio theater. We were back and forth via email with frankness and goodwill, and I think it was pretty great. I enjoyed sharing it at 7:05, so doggone it, let's do it again. Cuban explains himself on the whole we're not playing the anthem anymore thing. And we'll see what you think of his explanation. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Stick around.